Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. Jaya Prabhupada, 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 Jaya Prabhupada, Jaya Jaya Vishnu Bhagavan, Rajya Gacharya, Sarasi Swede, C. Bhaktivedanta Swami Sri Prabhupada Ki Jai, Namajar Haridas Thakur Ki Jai. Param Sagaho Sri Krishna Chaitanya Prabhu Nityananda Sri Advaita Gadadhar Shasri Gaur Bhakta Vrinda Gijay Sri Sri Radha Krishna Gova Govija Shama Kunda Radha Kunda Gidi Govardhan Gijay Sri Vrindavan Dham Gijay Navadab Dham Gijay Ganga Jamona Tulsi Bhakta Devi Gijay Ananda Koti Vaishnava Vrinda Gijay Samaveta Bhakta Vrinda Gijay Go Premanandi. All glories to the assembled devotees, all glories to the assembled devotees, all glories to the assembled devotees. All glories to Sri Guru and Sri Gauranga, all glories to Srila Prabhupada. Namo Vishnu Padaya, Krishna Vishnaya Bhutale, Sri Mate Bhaktivedanta Swami Niti Namini, Namaste Sarasvata Deve, Gauravani Pracharane, Nirvishesha Shunyavadi Pashacharesha Tadane, Sri Krishna Chaitanya Prabhu Nityananda Sri Advaita Gadadhar Shivasadi Gaur Bhakta Vrinda Hare Krishna Hare Krishna 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 Hare 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 Rama Hare Rama 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 Hare Hare. So yesterday we were speaking about Bhagavan, and an essential component of Bhagavan is Shakti. If there is no Shakti, it's difficult to explain how the Lord has form and qualities and actions, and how the Lord can create a material world. And that is why Shankaracharya says nothing exists, only Brahman. Because Brahman has no actions, no form, nothing, so he doesn't do anything. All the Vaishnavas don't accept that idea. We say that the Lord is real and material world is real, and the Lord has form and qualities and activities. How do we know that? Because we are going by scripture. So scripture talks about the Shakti of the Lord. In the Gaudiya Sampradaya, we put a little bit of an emphasis upon this idea of Shakti to explain how the Lord carries out activities and how he manifests his form, etc. As I explained, through the internal Shakti of the Lord, his Antaranga Shakti, we get the existence of, through the Sandini Shakti, of the Lord's form, qualities, and activities, and his Dham. And then through his other Shaktis, like Ladini, we get bliss, and through some that we get perceptions in the spiritual world and rasa. This is a way of explaining how the Lord manifests himself and interacts in the spiritual world through Shakti. And that Shakti is all spiritual. And then we have to explain how the material world exists. How does it created? So we talk about the Achit Shakti, the material Shakti of the Lord. So he has another Shakti which is quite unlike the spiritual Shakti, and it manifests Achit, or unconscious matter. It's still connected with the Supreme Lord, but the Supreme Lord is in no way influenced or contaminated by that material Shakti. There's always the worry that if the Lord creates the material world, he's contaminated by it. If he creates it, he must have the same qualities as the material world, that is, achit, unconscious. And if there is sin or fault in the world, then we have to blame the Lord for that because he created it. So we put a little distance between the material world and the Lord by talking about his Shakti. He has a material Shakti, and through that Shakti we get the manifestation of Prakriti, and from Prakriti we get all the material elements, etc. And sin actually doesn't arise except because of the other Shakti, the Jiva Shakti, the Tadasya Shakti. So when the Jiva enters the material world in the conditioned state, in an ignorance, then he performs activities that result in either pap or punya. So the evil that exists in the world is simply the free will of the Jiva operating, not the Supreme Lord. So that's one of the differences between the Lord and the Jiva. The Lord is never under ignorance, and the Jiva can be influenced by ignorance. So through the Shakti, the Lord creates the material world, and manifests the Jivas, and he manifests the spiritual world. If we have the Lord who doesn't manifest his Shaktis, we call that Brahman. The Lord minus his Shaktis is called Brahman, where there is no manifestation of form, qualities, activities, no creation of the material world or anything. But it is nevertheless the Lord. So, though the Lord creates the material world, he is in no way affected by it. So if the Lord enters the material world with his form, it's not a material form. It's not temporary. It is eternal. He manifests his qualities in the material world, such as truth, purity, mercy, tolerance, etc., strength. But these are spiritual qualities, and they're also eternal. We have a reflection of those qualities in the material world. Human beings may exhibit truth, purity, mercy, tolerance, etc. But these are arising from matter, material gunas. So they're quite different. So there's a similarity, but also a difference. So, all these qualities in the Lord arise from his internal Shakti, his Antaranga Shakti. So, the Lord is all-powerful because he is Shakti. Shakti means power, of course. And he is Shaktiman. He possesses all these powers. And they are without limit. So anything possible and impossible he can do because of his Shakti. But the Lord also appears to be the opposite, not infinite. So the Lord has a particular size, which is called limited size, a human-like size that the human beings can relate to. So that looks a little bit strange, because then how can the Lord be limited in this way if he's infinite? But nothing is impossible for the Lord. He can be infinite and finite, limited and unlimited, all-pervading and localized simultaneously. That's the nature of the Lord. He can combine opposites. This is his achintya shakti of combining opposites. So, this is an example of that. We have the case of Damodar Leela. So Krishna is, in any case, whether he's a small child or whether he is adult, he is Supreme Lord. But in either case, he has a limited form. And that form is particularly limited when he's a small child, because Mother Yasoda can hold him. And so he looks like he's very limited. Furthermore, Mother Yasoda was able to catch him and tie him up. So it looked like he was powerless also. So this, of course, is natural in the material world when we have a mother and her child. The mother can control the child, and she can punish him, and she can tie him up or lock him in a room or do anything like that, because she's bigger.
logically, it should not happen with the Lord because He is supreme. He is all powerful. So how can it be tied up? How can it be limited? How can it be locked up? How can it be punished? But we see that Krishna does this in relation to Mother Yasoda. So the opposite qualities are there in the Supreme Lord. We may not see His infinite aspect or all-pervading aspect when He gets tied up by Mother Yasoda. It is there, but He agrees to show this other aspect of Himself, in which He is limited. So there is no difficulty for the Lord in adjusting these two things. If we don't accept this inconceivable aspect of the Lord, then we can reject many aspects of pastimes of the Lord, or even the form of the Lord, because it doesn't look possible. We want to think of the Lord as the greatest, the all-pervading, etc. So then how can He also have a form which is limited? Doesn't make sense. But the Lord can't accommodate that. So whether He's a small child or a bigger person, still, it's a limitation of His form. Still, He is all-pervading, unlimited. This is a quote from Narsimha Tapani Upanishad. The Lord is beyond inconceivable and conceivable. He is spiritual and material. He is fierce and gentle. He is courageous and cowardly. He is great and small. He is all-pervading and not pervading. He is fiery and not fiery. He has His face everywhere and nowhere. So these are all opposites. We should not think of them as exaggeration in relation to the Supreme Lord. They look impossible. If He's inconceivable, how is He conceivable? If He's spiritual, how can He be material? If He's fierce, how can He be gentle? Everything is opposite. But the Lord can be both of these things, opposites. This is because of the Lord's achintya shakti. We accept the form of the Lord, which is actually rare, because it's only the Vaishnavas that will accept the form of the Lord. The impersonalists don't accept it. That is a spiritual form. Others may not believe in the Lord at all, as Sankhya philosophers or Karma Mimamsa philosophers. They don't even believe in a Supreme Lord. And the others like Patanjali and Vaisheshikas, they may accept the Lord, but He's formless again. And if we take other religions again, they also have a problem with form. So the Vaishnavas are rather unique in the realm of religion, because we accept the form of the Lord, which is a little bit maybe difficult for discussing, because if we have these interfaith dialogues, it's difficult to discuss that point. We all believe in God, we all believe in the mercy of God, etc., etc., but there's a big difference there. No form for God and form for God. This is one big difference between the Vaishnavas and all the other religious groups. But not only does the Lord have a form, but He has many forms, which are all eternal. And that's possible also because of His inconceivable powers. So an example is given here. Just as a gem shows blue, yellow, and other colors at different times, the Lord takes different forms because of different types of meditation. This is from Narada Pancharatra. So if you meditate in one way, you will see, let's say, Nrsimhadev. Meditate on Nrsimhadev, you see Nrsimhadev. Meditate on Ramchandra, you will see Ramchandra. Meditate on Vishnu, you see Vishnu. Meditate on Krishna, you see Krishna. So according to the devotee, the Lord manifests various forms. There's a jewel, the Vaidurya jewel. So there's a special jewel that changes its colors all the time. So if the light strikes it at one time, it is blue. The light strikes at another angle, it's yellow. It strikes at another, in another angle, it is red or green. That's mysterious. How does that happen? We can't understand, but the jewel does that. So that's, of course, a material example. Yeah? But the Lord is similar to that. But without effort, he could manifest, just as the jewel manifests different colors, the Lord could manifest all sorts of forms, according to the desires of the devotees. There is the, I think, alexandrite. That's one jewel. And if you look at it in the artificial light, I think it is purplish. You take it out in the sunlight, it goes greenish. So it changes its color. Of course, we also have in Australia the opal. So the opal kind of shows different colors. When you turn it a little bit, you'll see red. You turn it all the way, it's blue or green or something like that, or a little bit yellow. So we have a material, somewhat similar example. So therefore the Lord manifests not one form, but many forms. And one form can manifest in many places. And that example is given in the Bhagavatam when Narada Muni goes to Dwarka. And there he goes to the palace of Krishna and Rukmini, and he sees Rukmini with Krishna, and they're having some pastimes. And then very quickly he goes to another palace. And there he sees Krishna also doing something else with another queen, and not even aware that he had been in the other palace. And then he quickly goes to another palace and he sees another queen with Krishna. And Krishna's doing something different there. And suddenly he meets and welcomes Narada, as if he doesn't know what happened in the other palaces. Not only that, he went to other palaces really quickly because he can go at the speed of the mind from one place to the other. And then he saw Krishna not only with different queens, but at different parts of the day, even though it was only a few seconds apart. And then Krishna was getting up in the morning in one place. Another place he was going to the assembly. Another place he was going out hunting. Another place he was there in the evening. And furthermore, he was even doing different activities at different seasons. So in one place he was getting his daughter married. Another place he was doing something else in a different season. All simultaneously, because Narada Muni could travel real quickly like this. Krishna could expand himself into all these different forms, and they all act as if they are different persons, but they're actually the same Krishna. So the Lord, without any difficulty, could do the most remarkable things that we cannot do. So Narada Muni, of course, is very experienced. He sees the Lord. And you can travel to Vaikuntha or anywhere. But he was also amazed when he saw this aspect of Krishna. So how do we see that Supreme Lord with his spiritual form and spiritual qualities and spiritual activities? So the Mundaka Upanishad, which is Shruti, says the Lord reveals his form to whomever he chooses. It's up to the Lord. So we cannot on our own make the Lord reveal himself. So that is why the endeavors of Jnana and Yoga will not reveal the Lord, because these are individual efforts. Yeah? Furthermore, what will make the Lord choose to reveal himself? And the answer is bhakti. So therefore, if one is a devotee, the Lord will reveal himself. If you're not a devotee, you're a jnani, you're a yogi, you're a karmic, he will not reveal himself. So definitely the Lord reveals himself, but only to the devotees. So we have many statements like that, like in the Bhagavata where it says that the Lord, Krishna says, I'm not attracted to jnana or yoga or vairagya or dharma or any of these things, as much as I am attracted to bhakti and the devotee. So therefore, that process of bhakti is very, very special. It's the only way in which we get this revelation of Bhagavan, the Lord with his wonderful qualities and activities. Because it is, we could say, rare, and the other processes are more common, not many people can understand this. Who is Bhagavan? They can't appreciate it. Nevertheless, it's also the highest goal. It is Brahman with the Shaktis, and therefore it's much more, it gives much more bliss than realization of Brahman. So, the Lord performs activities. So the criticism of activity is that, for our point of view, activity will take place over time, and time is material. So then how can the Lord have activities, because then he's subject to material time? that's our material conception of time. Things happen now, things happen later, things happen later. And different events happen like this over time. Activities happen over time. So that's a limitation of material time. And we should not expect the Lord to be subject to that. But yet, the Lord does activities, and he even appears to be born at a certain time. He comes into the material world at a certain time. Because of that, people will say, therefore he's material. Because it looks like he is subject to time in the same way everybody else is. It even grows up as like a normal person. So it may appear like that, but actually, due to his Sarup Shakti, he can do anything, and therefore he can give this appearance of cooperating or being subject to material time when he isn't. Of course, in the spiritual world, we also have time, but it is not material time. So we have activities there, we have pastimes. And then we say, there's material time in the spiritual world because there's the day and a night, and Krishna does things over time, he does activities, he does pastimes that last for some time. But it is spiritual time, not material time. Okay? So, this, we can say, may contradict the idea of being eternal. If something is eternal, it should not change. But that would imply then that the Lord can have no activities, because activity needs to change. My arm is here, my arm is there, there's an action. There should be no change, there should be nothing happening. So from the material point of view, the Lord performing activities or having a form, it looks impossible. Because, you know, if we look, try to analyze it materially. But the Lord, by his Sarup Shakti, can do actions that over time in the spiritual world, and they're all eternal. Everything is eternal. It looks like it's operating over time, but it's all eternal. So it's also said that the spiritual world is always eternally in the present. In spite of the fact that we do have Krishna coming, waking up in the morning and going to bed at night and doing all these things, it's eternally a present time, and there's no past and future. So it's beyond our material conception, but it is arranged by the Sarup Shakti of the Lord. So we have action, it has a beginning, it has a middle, and an end. Takes place over time. So that's our material concept. And if the Lord also does action, then he's also subject to material time. That would be our logical conclusion. But no, not like that. It's not a fault, since the Lord's forms are always eternal. Manifestations of his form are eternal. Pastimes like birth and activities are eternal. And manifestations in the spiritual world and material world of his places and associations, unlimited universes, unlimited Vaikunthas are eternal. Everything is eternal, even though it looks all, you know, changing and whatever. So, another way of explaining it is these activities that look like gross material activities, like a birth. How can that be eternal? It happens and it's finished. So the answer is that the birth is eternal because it's continually occurring in some universe. As soon as the birth of Krishna takes place here, it also takes place in another universe, then another universe, then another universe, then another universe, then another universe. So as long as the whole universe, all the universes exist, there's a birth going on someplace of Krishna. So that birth is eternal. His disappearance is also eternal. Everything else is eternal. Lifting over and up turns the eternal act. It's going on now. And next second, next second, next second, it's going on someplace. So this is the way also we could explain it. All the actions are eternal because they're continually going on. Of course, it's very difficult for us to understand how that's taking place, but that's how it is. So the Lord has manifest name, form, qualities, and activities. These are his... Bhaktivinoda Thakur explains that any object in the material world has to be known by a name, by a form, by qualities and activities. So in science, that's what we do. We identify this is an atom of whatever, hydrogen, let's say. We give it a name. And then we give it a form. We say how many protons, how many neutrons, etc. We'll talk about that. That's its form, particular form, compared to oxygen, which has more protons or something like that. I don't know what it is, but anyway, probably more protons. And it's has certain qualities. One may be inflammable, that is not inflammable, whatever. And the activities, does he combine it this way or combine it that way, and it does different things. So form, qualities, activities, and name. This is how we know things in the material world. Similarly, in the spiritual world, we know by name, we know by qualities, activities, and form. So that we have Krishna, we have a name, he has a particular form, particular qualities, particularly his four extra madhurya qualities, sweet qualities, and he has his particular activities that distinguish him from all the other forms in the spiritual world. So of these, the name is very, very special. So like form, qualities, and activities in the material world, we have form, qualities, and activities in the spiritual world, but they are also different. They're not the same. Name, form, qualities, activities in the material world arise from Prakriti. Spiritual world, the Lord's name arises from himself through his Sarup Shakti, through his Sandini Shakti. So it's not material. So like the Lord is self-manifesting, his name is self-manifesting. So here's a quote from Brahma Purana. He is without material name because he is not known in the world. He's without material form because he's devoid of material elements. So he has no name. He's anama, arupa. But that doesn't mean he doesn't have any name. But he has no material name. He cannot be known in the material world, so therefore there's no material name. He has no material form made out of material elements. So that says arupa. But he has spiritual form and spiritual name. Now the problem comes, of course, that, good, spiritual, but how are we to pronounce a spiritual name or hear a spiritual name? Because if we're not qualified, we've got material senses. So people will criticize for that reason, just as they'll criticize the form, like the deities. How you can, accept spiritual form, but that's we're seeing that with our material eyes, it's material form. So, as I said, names are necessary in the material world. They're also there in the spiritual world. Since there can be no understanding of meaning without making names, you're a worshiper of the names of Vishnu, Krishna, Chuta, and Ananta. Which are fixed names of the Supreme Lord, eternal names in the spiritual world. They're not manufactured and randomly stuck on a, like in the material world, we just stick a name on somebody. So these are inherent in the Lord himself, these names. Okay, so they're non-different from the substance of the Lord or his Swarup. Here's a quote from Rig Veda. Sometimes we'll quote Vedas just to support ourselves. O Vishnu, your name is spiritual and self-revealing, self-revealed. Knowing that name, a little not completely, it's by chanting it, we have attained fine knowledge of you, because that Om is self-accomplished. So Om is the name of the Lord, of Vishnu. And through that, we can realize Vishnu. So this is a glorification of the name. From the Rig Veda. And in that name, because it is absolute, we have the form, qualities, and activities of the Lord. So if you chant the name, you can realize the form, qualities, and activities. So that makes it a very, very simple process of realizing the Lord. And therefore, the name is glorified in all of the scriptures, like this one. Whoever chants the two syllables, Hari, only once is ready for attaining liberation. Skanda Purana, which is the Tamasic Purana, by the way. Even if a person accepts the Lord's name, he enters again samsara by committing the offense of thinking that the statements of scripture are exaggeration or imaginary. So the name has great effect, but if we think the names are useless, imaginary, meaningless material, we get no effect. It's an offense. One of the offenses of the name, to think it's exaggeration or imagination. So we have to have faith. Again, from Skanda Purana. So though Skanda Purana is in the, for the Tamagun people, we do have statements glorifying Vishnu and the holy name and the devotees. So this is one here. The name of Krishna is sweeter than the sweetest, the most auspicious of all things auspicious, the highest fruit in the tree of all the Vedas, and is composed entirely of pure consciousness. O best of Bhrigu's dynasty, here once with faith or in negligence, it can deliver any human being. So even once hearing the name of the Lord can deliver a human being. And even if it is done negligently, that is like in Ajamil's case. So it's a glorification of the name. So we find this glorification in a Tamasic Purana, which is glorifying Kartikeya and Shiva. But nevertheless, those Puranas also glorify Krishna. The name of the Lord is Chintamani. It is Krishna himself, a form of consciousness and rasa. It is complete, pure, and eternally liberated, since there's no difference between the name and Krishna himself. Abhinatva nama namino. The name and who is indicated by the name, Krishna, are non-different. So, how can we pronounce that name with our voice, which is a human material sense? How can we say the name Krishna, and how can it be spiritual? Or how can we hear it with the ear? Because it looks like it's a material sound. So the answer is, it doesn't come from our material senses. It's simply made manifest in the senses by the Lord himself. Like the Vedas are also spiritual, but then we could say, well, we hear the Vedas and look at the Vedas and study the Vedas. It looks like it's related to our material senses, but no. It's actually spiritual, and the Lord causes that to manifest to our senses. And in other words, it spiritualizes our senses. Normally, it's the other way around, as our senses go out and take things in the material world. Here, it's the Lord himself that is putting the name into our voice or into our ear and maintaining its spiritual potency. Okay. So the ultimate purpose of the Lord in everything is bliss. Ananda is the essential quality of the Supreme Lord. And if we want to say, why does the Lord do this or why does he do that, we have to ultimately trace it back. And the answer is bliss. It's because of bliss. And he interacts with the devotees to give the devotees bliss. And if he didn't do so, then he would be said to have no mercy or compassion.
For a person who cannot show compassion, a false show of compassion causes them suffering. For a person capable of compassion, showing compassion makes them happy. So compassion is a very good quality if it's manifested properly. So that Lord's bliss is related to the bliss of the jiva, and it's by that his compassion, the Lord is able to experience bliss. Okay, form of the Lord. We know there are contrary statements in the scriptures, particularly the Shrutis, about form of the Lord. Yeah? The learned Shrutis describe his various spiritual senses, including his arms, which support them, but also describe the Lord as akarana, without senses, since he does not have senses like a jiva. So we have statements that say the Lord has no senses, akarana, and statements that says he does have senses. So how do we adjust that? So, as I said, we all already accept that the Lord is Brahman, where there is no form, qualities, activities, and he is also Bhagavan. He is both Brahman and he is Bhagavan. So then we think, well, equal. I can worship either one and realize Brahman or Bhagavan, same. But the answer is no. The Lord with the form is the highest, but Brahman is secondary. So why accept forms? There's nothing wrong with forms. The forms are all eternal. They're all pervading. I said they're not limited in any way, even though we may think they are. They're the shelter of everything. They're different from subtle and gross forms of the material world. They have spiritual natures. They're self-manifesting. And all the scriptures testify, yes, the Lord does have spiritual forms. So there's no problem in accepting these forms based on scripture, and certainly no limitation on the Lord by having a form. Furthermore, it creates bliss that's not available in Brahman. So the Lord has his form in the spiritual world. He also has various items that are attached to him, and he has an abode, a dhamma, and they're all spiritual. The Lord wears the Kastoba jewel, which is himself, uncontaminated in the material world and without material gunas. He has a Kastoba jewel, he has other jewels. So, again, they're not material things, they're spiritual. The devotees in the spiritual world are never deprived of any enjoyment. My wheel of time does not afflict those devotees, for I know for whom I am a lover, Atma, son, friend, elder, companion, or worshipable deity. So the devotees are also fully spiritual. And the place is fully spiritual. The Chandogya Upanishad explains the Dhamma. She talks about Brahmaloka. This is not the material Brahmaloka. Brahmalokam api sampadyate nacha punaravartate. So the jiva attains the loka of the Supreme Lord, Brahman, Parabrahman, and he never returns. From Bhagavad Gita, O Arjuna, all those, including the inhabitants of Brahmaloka, that's the other material Brahmaloka, take birth again, but having attained me, O son of Kunti, a person does not take birth again. So the persons in that place stay eternally there. And even in this material world, the temple is also spiritual, same as the spiritual world. Though it's difficult for us to understand that, it's nevertheless beyond the material gunas. Residence in the forest is in the mode of goodness. Residence in the town is in the mode of passion. Residence in the gambling house displays the quality of ignorance. And residence in the place where I reside, that's a temple, is beyond the gunas. So temples are nirguna, spiritual world. Okay? So the temple is non-different from the Lord, and therefore it's beyond the gunas. So it's also Vaikuntha. So, I mentioned that the Sarup Shakti is the cause, if we want to analyze everything. So for our material understanding or intellect we have to satisfy. How does the Lord have a form, etc.? We say by His Sarup Shakti, His spiritual Shakti will manifest His spiritual form, abode, and qualities. Huh? And in this way, we get variety and difference in the spiritual world. Huh? So therefore, a difference exists. And it's the spiritual difference arises because of Shakti, the Lord's Sarup Shakti. Okay, so some people will realize the aspect of the Lord called Brahman. This is a partial manifestation of the Lord. But because it is the Lord, then we'll think, I've attained the Lord. And we don't understand it's only a partial aspect of the Lord. Just as we have incomplete vision of something, we have a slight vision of it, so then we think that's it. But actually, we go closer, we get much more detailed vision of an object. Yeah? So that is Brahman. It is a vision, like a vision of an object from far away. It's general aspect of the Lord. If we get closer, and then we see more details, and the Lord becomes more interesting. And closer we get, the more details we understand, then that's more perfect knowledge. And then we get better bliss also, higher bliss. Just as one object like milk, the shelter of many qualities like form and taste, is perceived in various ways by different senses with different capacities, such as the eye seeing white color, the tongue tasting milk sweetness, and touch sensing milk's coolness, so Bhagavan, the One, is perceived in various forms. So just like we can perceive milk differently by different senses, different people will see the Lord differently by different processes. So through jnana, you will see Brahman. You'll realize Brahman. Through bhakti, realize the Supreme Lord. Because there's no qualities manifest in that Brahman realization is compared to light. So we can't give any distinguishing marks, form to light. So that similarly, you don't see the form of the Lord in Brahman. So we call it light or jyoti, radiance of the Lord or effulgence of the Lord. So the word Brahman ultimately means the greatest. So sometimes we use Brahman to indicate the Lord. We call Brahmaloka the loka of Vishnu. It's called Brahmaloka also. It means the greatest, the supreme great. And within that then we get the Brahman. Bhagavan is the supreme great, and within that we get the impersonal Brahman. But usually in our works we refer to Brahman as the impersonal Brahman. But of course that's the understanding that it is attached to the great Lord, so it's also great. So in the Chatusloki of the Bhagavatam in the second canto, then we have which is like the seed of the Bhagavatam in four verses. We get a definition of Supreme Lord and Bhakti and Prayojana, Sambandha Abhidhya Prayojana. So there we get a definition of the Supreme Lord, indication of the Supreme Lord. Please understand the most secret knowledge of my form along with the realization of that form. Jnanam and Vijnanam. Also understand Prem Bhakti and Sadhana Bhakti, which will be spoken by me. Rahasya Yad Angam. The secret and its Anga. It's, Prema and Sadhana Bhakti. So, in these verses that begin, and with verse 33, Aham Eva Sam Eva Gre. I existed first. I alone, who am non-different from that which is superior to cause and all effect, existed previous to the creation of the universe. I alone exist as the universe after the creation of the universe. I alone remain at the destruction. So in all cases, the Lord is there. He's saying, I. So from that we see there's a speaker who's saying this. And He's speaking, so he has a form. Huh? He has a mouth, he's speaking, he has a voice. And then in the verse, we find this verse here in Manga Chato Sloki. Maya is discussed. One should understand my Maya to be anything other than me, which is perceived and which cannot be perceived without me. It is like reflected light or darkness. So Maya is dependent on the Supreme Lord, but it's not the Lord, it's something else. And Prema is described. Just as the elements enter into all beings and also remain separate, I enter into all beings and remain separate when I perform my pastimes. In pastimes related to the material world, I remain detached. In pastimes related to devotees, I am attached. So the prema here is attached to the devotees in pastimes. That's the prema aspect of the Supreme Lord. So, prema is discussed in the Chatusloki, and sadhana is discussed also. The person desiring to know the best sadhana and goal of sadhana must learn by surrender to guru about this truth, which is determined as the best by performance at all times and all places with rules and prohibitions. So this verse among the Chatusloki indicates the sadhana. Okay, so ultimately, all scriptures, not just the Bhagavata, they all indicate, finally, Bhagavan and not Brahman. Yeah. This is a quote from Brahmatarka, which is quoted often by Madhvacharya. Apparently, nobody knows the scripture nowadays, but Madhvacharya quotes this scripture often. This is a verse here. Understanding all the Vedas, Itihasas, Puranas, logic, and Pancharatra scriptures, Vishnu alone is to be known. So he is the conclusion of all the scriptures. Puranas, Itihasas, and Vedas. Vishnu and Bhagavan. So, similar to how can the name be spiritual? Because we hear it with the material ear and say it with the material voice and tongue. How can we describe Bhagavan and his qualities? Since we're using material words, etc. Huh? When the jiva becomes favorable to the Lord, because of the manifestation of chit shakti in the intelligence, mind, senses, and words, they act beyond the gunas. So if you have bhakti, then your words and the voice, and even your eye and ear, etc., are no longer material. They're suffused with spirituality. So it's no longer normal words, normal vision, etc. Intelligence, mind, and senses and words are endowed with the chit shakti. They share qualities of the spiritual form of the Lord, full of the highest bliss and are self-revealing. So our senses, mind, intelligence gets transformed when we have discussions about Krishna and his various energies. So therefore, the words of the devotee or the scriptures can reveal the Lord because they're no longer material. So the Lord has various shaktis. We have the spiritual shaktis, we have material shaktis. So we have the shakti of spiritual wealth and material wealth, the shakti of spiritual knowledge and material knowledge, the shakti of understanding the Supreme Lord and understanding the Atma, spiritual avidya and material avidya. Of course, that avidya in the spiritual world means prema covers up the consciousness of that's yoga maya actually, and the material world we have mahamaya, which covers the jiva's ignorance. It's quite different. But it's all shakti of the Lord operating to create variety in the material world, variety in the spiritual world. So the sandini shakti is that shakti extending to all time, place, and objects. It's not limited in any way, by which one maintains existence. So this causes the existence of everything in the spiritual world, the Dhamma, the objects, everything. Samved is that shakti by which one perceives. So if we perceive in the spiritual world through any of our senses, that's because of the chit shakti, samved. So previously the samved, the chit shakti enters into your senses, and then you can express spiritual words and see spiritually, etc. So this is the samved shakti acting, which is part of bhakti. Saudini is that shakti by which an excellent, as an excellent form of samvit, one is aware of bliss. So it's something like samvit because it's consciousness, but it's the excellent form of it which causes happiness. So bhakti is actually samvit and hladini combined. So the sandini manifests the dham, samvit manifests spiritual vision, hladini manifests prema, experience of bliss and prema. So, the Lord has a form of eternity, knowledge, and bliss, is endowed with unlimited, marvelous, inconceivable shaktis arising from His sarup, is without qualities, and is endowed with qualities. He is without difference, but possesses various differences. He is without form, is also endowed with a form. He's all-pervading, also medium-sized. So, He is opposites, but that's possible because of His achintya shakti, like that. And because of this, we can manifest Brahman and Bhagavan as aspects of the Lord. And they are quite opposite. Bhagavan has qualities, Brahman has no qualities, Lord has form, Brahman has no qualities, Bhagavan has difference, Brahman has no difference, Bhagavan is medium-sized, Brahman is all-pervading. They're very opposite, but they're all one God, Advaya Gyanam, Tattva. So Bhagavan has a complete self-manifesting vigraha, or form arising from His sarup, beyond the gross and subtle material bodies. He has unlimited vigrahas with similar nature, manifested from one chief form, all of which are called Bhagavan. So that chief form, of course, is Krishna. And everything else manifests from there. Like that. So, and it's all spiritual. So he manifests as Brahman, being a very general form of the Lord. He manifests as Tatasya Shakti, called the Jiva. And the Jiva takes shelter of the Lord. And he has his shadow Shakti. That's the material Shakti, which produces the material world. So these are his energies. And he has beside him Lakshmi, on his left side, manifestation of a Sarupa Shakti, similar nature to himself. His form exists in his own abode along with his associates in paraphernalia. So, in this way, the Lord Bhagavan exists either as Krishna or Vishnu or other forms in the spiritual world. Okay. Fine.
Krishna's name is coming from the spiritual world in the chanting, elevation. And we do mention here that the name does not come from our own senses, but is manifested by Krishna within ourselves, or within our senses.
Well, chit shakti.
Yeah. So, I'm just trying to think.
Spiritual.
Where is Krishna?
Okay. Oh, I think that. Okay.
I've never really understood that properly.
Yeah. So this is probably because we're a little prejudiced. We think spiritual world is up and we're down like this. So that's a little bit material, where the spiritual world is actually everywhere. And the Lord, He's up in the spiritual world, but He's also everywhere as well. So He's also inside you as well as outside you. So He's everywhere simultaneously, so it doesn't really matter where it comes from. When we say the holy name comes from the spiritual world, obviously it's coming from Krishna in the spiritual world,
But Krishna's everywhere, so wherever you have devotion, that Krishna is also there. So therefore, he's in us also, to the extent we have devotion.
So the same is in us, is that super soul
that's
all
there, or? Well, the super soul, Paramatma, usually functions for the non-devotees.
Right.
So instead of that, we get Krishna functioning instead as Bhagavan, which is not impossible for, because he could spread himself everywhere within the universe, or everywhere, so why he can't also appear with all the devotees, who are much less than that. There's not so many devotees.
So does that mean Krishna replaces Paramatma in the devotees?
No, Paramatma will go on because we still have a material body that has to function, so he takes care of those material functions. And meanwhile, Krishna takes care of the devotional aspect, the development of bhakti.
Because I heard one story, a devotee was in Prabhupada's room, and there was a picture of Paramatma on the wall. Yeah. And he was a very devotee of Paramatma.
Yeah, for the devotees, that's their goal, so that becomes more prominent.
So this is a question regarding time. So we heard that in the spiritual world, time is not past, present, or future.
Only present. Only present.
Sorry, not past, but future. So in the pure world, we have these things called memories, which we remember. Our different pastimes through the material aspect, we can sit and well talk about them. But that's to do with material time. But even in the spiritual world, we have the gopis, like they're always remembering and recalling the pastimes of Krishna.
Yeah.
So
yeah.
That they're going back in time then to experience
the
spiritual ecstasy.
Yeah.
So, does that sort of conflict with the concept that
there's
no past in
the
spiritual time?
Yeah. Well, time is similar in many ways, but it's also different. So in the material world, time progresses, and once it's accomplished, then there's no going back, and it goes in one direction, it keeps going forward into an unknown future like this. And it's destructible, destruction. It causes destruction in general. Because then we have, days of Brahma, nights of Brahma, lives of Brahma, then creation, destruction like this. So time, we see, is one of those, we call it the Jiva Maya. And a part of Maya is Jiva Maya and Guna Maya. So Prakriti is the Guna Maya, and then Jiva Maya is time and karma, all these subtle aspects that stick to the material world and cause it to manifest. So that time is definitely, fully material. So we do have, as I said, we have a time in the spiritual world, but it's not under Prakriti or under Maya of the material world. It's under Krishna and his Sarup Shakti. So we do have a sense of time. As I said, Krishna gets up in the morning or whatever. And then, of course, you can have memories or whatever, things in the past. At the same time, it's very flexible. So only what is necessary for those pastimes will manifest as your memory. And things that are not necessary disappear. So it's described in the Brihad Bhagavatamrita there that Gobu Kumar was looking from the outside, and then he saw, this pastime is recurring again. Either he's lifting Govardhan Hill again, or he's dancing on Kaliya again, and again, and again. But nobody there is aware of it. It's the first time. They're just like, well, we had this pastime last week or last year. Why are we having the same pastime? No, it's a new pastime. And we can't say it's an old pastime because it's just a different time. And everything is adjusted by Krishna, so they have no awareness of that previous event, which was, so-called previous event. We have two types of inhabitants of the spiritual world. Those are nityasiddhas, who never fall, and those who attained that place from a material world. They were devotees and they got prema, then they went to the spiritual world. Yeah? So those type of devotees.
Talking about the ones who had the same form as Narayana.
Yeah, so they can be either.
Nitya siddhas or sadhana siddhas.
Do they stay like that forever, or they have to, can they progress towards?
Well, they could, anything is possible, but generally because they aspire for that and they like that, they stay there. So those devotees who worship Rama, they go to Rama, and they prefer Rama, so that's their eternal position. So in Brihad Bhagavatamrita, it's described that, you know, Narada Muni went to all these different places and they saw all these different devotees, Hanuman worshipping Rama or the Pandavas worshipping Krishna, all slightly different and different degrees of closeness and different types of prema. But they were all satisfied with their particular position. They never aspired for anything else, so then it wouldn't change. If everybody was dissatisfied, then they would change, but there's no dissatisfaction in the spiritual world. Prema is so satisfying that they stick to wherever they are. If everything was like that, then the whole spiritual world would be empty and everybody would be in Goloka, in Madhurya Rasa with Krishna. But it's not like that. He has all these other devotees there, and they're all there, and all the other lokas are there, and they're all worshipping and serving different forms of the Lord, and they're all completely satisfied in prema. Fall from other positions. Well, technically, if you have prema, as it said here, you go to the spiritual world, you don't come back. It doesn't matter where. Once you're there, you're there. Well, again, they do have, even it said that, you know, there's no sun, no moon, nothing is there in one sense, but yet we do see a sun, we do see a moon, there is a night, there is a day by the arrangement of the Lord for pastimes. But there's no darkness in the sense that there's no ignorance, but, and we associate darkness with ignorance in the material world, so that type of darkness isn't there, but for pastimes, they do have a night and they go to sleep and whatever like that. But again, the sleep is not tamasic sleep like ours, it's bliss again. Well, that's described in Brihad Bhagavatamrita. The inhabitants there, the devotees, they're going into the Vaikuntha, in the gate of Vaikuntha, and Gopakumar is waiting outside to go in because the people who brought him there, they had to ask permission from Vishnu, so he's waiting out there, and then he sees all these people coming up and going in. They're very beautiful, and some are changing their forms into various forms. Some become birds, some become animals, and they change back into their form again. And then it's described they do this just for the pleasure of the Supreme Lord. If they can serve the Lord in that form, then they will take different forms, but say like a temporary form, and they come back, they revert again to their original or their main form again. But they cannot take these forms because they have certain powers. Just like even in the material world, some yogis can change their form, or some demons like Putana can change their form, even in the material world. So anyone in the spiritual world has vast powers. They have sarshti, great powers, so they can manifest any form they desired.
That's sarshti planet.
Yeah, yeah.
And
sarshti. Yeah, yeah. Yeah, special powers, so they could do all these things, but generally they don't, unless it's for particular pastimes in serving the Lord.
So, for the materialist wealth, flesh is known as chanchala, flickering. He's at the same Lakshmi, but sort of over, like supervising material and spiritual world.
Actually, there's two Lakshmis. Actually, there's the material Lakshmi that the Vaishyas worship in India, the one of the money coming out of her hands. So that's the gross wealth Lakshmi. Then we have the spiritual Lakshmi next to Vishnu. So she's the spiritual one. And I think also in the story of the turning of the milk ocean, a Lakshmi came out of there. But she was the lower Lakshmi, the one who gets the material wealth. So she's like a reflection of this, or expansion from the spiritual one. So it's more like Durga Devi in relation to Lakshmi, you know.
So she'd be like Radha Tattva or what?
The spiritual, yeah. So we have Radha and Krishna, then we have Lakshmi Narayan or Sita and Rama. They're all basically the same Tattva, the consort of the Lord.
Okay. Hare Krishna.